Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The end of November last year, the American Civil Liberties Union filed a lawsuit on behalf of four female military service members to challenge the Pentagon's ban on women serving in direct frontline combat units. The lawsuit, filed in federal court in San Francisco, was the second such federal challenge filed by female service members last year. The lawsuit in November demands that the military change its policy that excludes women from units like the infantry, which directly engages enemy forces. The women feel the policy violates constitutional equal protection rights and unfairly blocks women from promotions and other advancements that are open to men in combat. On January 24th, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta announced just such a change would take place, potentially opening up, quote, 230,000 positions to female service members, unquote. My guest today is Elaine Donnelly. She is the president of the Center for Military Readiness, and she will explain just how misguided this decision is. Thanks, Elaine, for being with us.
Yes, nice to talk with you.
And I know last time we had you on, we were talking a little bit about the possibility of women being in combat and how ludicrous, really ludicrous, that idea is, and it's happened. So my first question is, can they do this constitutionally? That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Well, it certainly tramples on a very basic principle of the United States Constitution, which says in Article 1, Section 8, Congress is mm-hmm. the branch of government that is responsible for making policy for the military, not the president, not the chiefs of staff, not the Secretary of Defense, certainly not a lame duck Secretary of Defense,
yeah.
Congress. Congress has not had hearings on this in decades. On the House side, 34 years. On the Senate side, 22
goodness.
Years. So Congress is part of the problem, too, because mm-hmm. they haven't stepped up to take this issue seriously. But now comes the responsibility of everybody listening to this program, parents who have daughters and sons, for
mm-hmm.
that matter, who
yeah.
may be in the military or might be in the future. You need to listen carefully about what is going on here, because this is our military we're talking about. There are a lot of institutions of American life that the administration is taking a wrecking ball to.
Mm-hmm.
This one, we can't afford at all,
right.
because the military defends
right.
the country. So first, let's talk about terms of discussion. When we talk about combat, the units we're talking about here are the ones that attack the enemy, deliberate offensive action against the enemy under fire. This is called direct ground combat. Direct ground combat battalions, small ones, tip of the spear, infantry, armor, special operations forces, artillery, Navy SEALs, that's what we're talking about. Now, women have been in war, and we're very proud of them. They've been serving with courage in harm's way. Everybody in a war zone is in harm's
exactly.
way.
And
but that doesn't mean that even in the brigade level, the headquarters level of infantry, that you've been in direct ground combat.
Exactly.
This is a very important term, first of all, to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Senator McCain used that term recently, in harm's way.
Yes.
So the difference between, like you're saying, anyone in a war zone, anywhere, is in harm's way.
That's
but
right.
yet what
Everyone.
They're... What Panetta is saying is that we're now going to allow women to be in direct ground combat. Those are the ones who actually do the attacking of the
That's
enemy.
That's right. And
it's a difference.
It's a big difference, and it's one that, first of all, everybody needs to understand. And there's not that many people. These are relatively small communities. They are all male. They should remain all
mm-hmm.
male. There is nothing to be gained by making them co-ed. You would introduce into those units a host of issues and problems that they don't need. And their mission has not changed, even despite changes in the conditions in Iraq and Afghanistan. Even now, the mission of the infantry battalions remains the same. And so all of this kind of vague talk about, well, there's no front line, that's really not quite the case
mm-hmm.
because these units still have that mission to attack the enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
The second big fallacy is that, well, this would be voluntary. Actually not, because once you join the military, you go where the military
oh, yeah,
orders
absolutely.
You to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you are no longer your own person.
That's right.
Once you've signed on the dotted line.
Right, and you have this determination in the Pentagon to achieve what are called diversity metrics, which is another word for quotas, gender-based quotas. Now, at the news conference at the Pentagon on January 24, you saw there General Dempsey, and he said several things. When asked about high standards, he said, well, if the standard is too high, we'll have to question it and find out, does it really need to be that high?
Right.
And then he said, we'll make sure that we have a significant number of women, what he called a significant cadre or critical mass of women going into these units so that they'll be, they won't be alone in those units. This kind of blows the whole argument that we're only talking about a few extraordinary women.
Right.
You're going to
the
have
Amazons.
To have significant numbers, critical mass of women, and they're even talking about NCOs, mid-level officers, being put into these units to be mentors for the enlisted women to follow.
I mean,
what kind of a system is that?
This is like, the military is not an organization where someone holds your hand.
Right.
I mean, that's what it sounds like. They're trying to create a situation where they're going to have mentors. I mean, who else gets such treatment that they're given mentors?
Even in other units that are not direct ground combat, they have used this strategy. So that you wouldn't have just say one woman on a big ship,
but still the whole
like
idea. Yeah, well, we see what's happened with women on the ship. I mean, how many are discharged because they're pregnant?
Well,
as
that's
a result.
One of the issues
yeah.
and problems that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The Navy has found it necessary to fire commanding officers and XOs of ships at the rate of approximately two per month for the last 3 years.
Oh,
and then most
goodness.
Often it's for reasons of sexual misconduct,
mm-hmm.
okay, and of various kinds, voluntary, involuntary, yeah. sexual misconduct. It ranges across the spectrum, and it is a serious problem in the Navy. Now, how does it benefit the Marine Corps, Special Ops Forces, Army Infantry? How does it benefit those battalions to transfer all of those issues into smaller units? Those people are human, too.
Yeah.
They're no different than everyone else.
Absolutely.
So getting back to this word diversity. Military Leadership Diversity Commission, you probably never heard of it, but this is a mostly civilian commission set up by the Pentagon, endorsed by Congress and the Pentagon, and it calls for what it calls diversity metrics, quotas, and it says that this is not about treating everyone the same, different than the equal opportunity mandate of the past to be both color and gender blind. The new diversity means group rights, not individual rights. It's really quite radical. And it goes a bit further. It says that in order to make this successful, all promotions of officers from low to mid-level rank right up to 3- and 4-star rank, they must support this diversity agenda.
So they must support the diversity agenda even to be promoted.
Exactly.
Is that what you just said? So it's no longer... They're no longer looking at the quality of work or what they've done for the military in their military career. It's whether they agree with this radical agenda.
That's right. And then it becomes a matter of self-interest. And this is not fair to those officers. It's not fair to the subordinates under them who wonder,
not fair to us.
Well, why did that person get the promotion
yeah.
and that person did not? You see how merit and individual recognition goes by the wayside
mm-hmm.
when you have diversity metrics in play. Everything else becomes secondary.
It's all groupthink.
So this eventually will drive standards down.
Yeah.
We know for another reason, gender-free training, it's not the same as gender-fair training. TRADOC, this is the outfit that runs Army training. They're saying, well, we're going to have to make changes, make it fair, and we'll get rid of what they call traditional impediments. And that means
traditional impediments for women, you mean as far as you can't, they don't have to do 100 sit-ups or something like that?
No, we're talking about attitudes.
Oh, attitudes.
We have to mitigate resistance to women going into these specialties, the general said. I'm quoting him.
Oh, my goodness.
We need the right environment. So how does this work in the new gender order? I guess we have to get rid of those guys who liberated Baghdad and Fallujah.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kinds of male warriors, and most of them are indeed male, to say that, well, if you don't support this, then you must be anti-woman. Again,
wow.
It's a way of driving standards down.
Who wants to work in an environment like that? I mean, when you go into the military, and personally, I think that more doors should be closed. Even now, even before what Panetta did on the 24th, I think more doors should be closed to women. I mean, I think they're too much in harm's way even before this announcement on the 24th. So that's where I stand on it. But.
Well, if you're talking about the issue of harassment and assault, someone made a ludicrous claim. In fact, I think it was General Dempsey, that this would somehow reduce the rates of sexual assaults. Nothing could be further from the truth.
And he's a general?
Yeah, I mean, it's just astonishing. It's a throwback to the, remember when the tailhook scandal occurred in Las Vegas?
And yeah.
Some male aviators went after some women. Everybody was drinking. It was pretty ugly. Mm-hmm. And the answer was that, well, women are not respected enough, so let's put them in combat aviation, and that will improve that problem. Well, it's been 20-plus years later, and rates of sexual assault and misconduct continue to increase and get worse and worse and worse. According to an Army report, since 2006, the numbers of incidents have nearly doubled and are going up at a rate of 14% per year.
14% per year.
Right.
Wow.
So if you take all of those issues, again, and put them in the close combat battalions, and then you apply pressure so the standards are lowered in a way that threatens everyone's survival, because at that level, survival is the key to unit cohesion. It's not liking each other. It's survival.
Right.
Okay?
Whether you live or die.
If because of policies that are putting women there, the women get the blame, how do you think that's going to sit in those types of units?
It's not going to sit well.
It certainly is not going to decrease resentment or harassment problems. It's going to make it worse.
Has General Dempsey, do you know, has he ever fought in combat on the front lines?
Well, I do know this. He does not have a Ranger tab. The argument has been made we have to gender integrate Ranger training so that more women can be 3- and 4-star generals. The Chief of Staff of the Army does not have a Ranger tab. In fact, 50% of the 4-star generals in the Army do not have a Ranger tab.
Okay, now for us who don't know what that is, what does that mean?
Ranger tab, it's a very, very tough training course. Not even all the men get through it. It's very tough. And it's primarily for special ops and infantry and people who are in physically demanding MOSs. You can go through it even if you're not headed for the infantry. But it's considered career-enhancing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's by no means a necessity. But the argument has been made, well, since women don't even have a chance to go to Ranger training, that hurts their careers.
Oh.
Well, here's a little fact. Women are promoted at rates equal to or faster than men.
Even now?
Even now. And it's been that way for decades. So you don't need a Ranger tab.
Mm-hmm.
50% of the generals in the Army who are 4-stars do not have a Ranger tab. That is a fallacious argument. And yet, General Odierno, who does not have a Ranger tab, says, well, let's turn Ranger training upside down. Let's make it acceptable for women. Now, here's the problem. Putting aside Ranger training, putting aside infantry training in the Marine Corps, if you go to the officer candidate school at Quantico, this is for all the officers, ROTC is, and other sources. Okay, you have a male obstacle course that has these barriers that you have to climb over, and there's walls right next to it, parallel, is a woman's course. And the obstacles are about 12 inches lower, and you have little assists that are nailed to the wall
that you can
to give,
a boost
so you can go over the wall. Now, even
I didn't mean to interrupt, but is that now?
Yes,
that
right
now. Oh.
Virtually every military obstacle course has something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, how do you equalize that? You either tear down the women's course and force them to go on the men's course, in which case you get a lot of failures and a lot of injuries, or you take down the men's course and say, okay, you do the women's course, they ace it, but they're not getting the same training they did before.
They're not being challenged the way that they
were
before.
How do you get gender neutral out of that? You see, this
you're not,
is how the whole pressure to drive standards down.
Even
the assumption that will not happen is just not supportable. And there's one more reason. It's already happened. When the Marine Corps announced their research program that was conducted all last year, 2012, they said, we're going to test common tasks with hundreds of male and female volunteers. And this went on for a number of months. Okay, we don't know the results yet. But we do know, because I looked on the website of the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services, that the original plan was to have 6 different events that the men and women would have to perform.
This was
a Marine.
And
then they would record the scores and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before the research program began in April of the following year, they took out 3 of the 6.
So it was half of them already eliminated before it even started.
They just took out 3 of the 6, the toughest tests. And then they slightly modified the remaining 3 to make them a little bit easier for the women. And it was not announced. If I didn't tell you just now, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So This is how gender norming works. It's really insidious because it's not announced in advance. What you have left is equality, but it's not the same.
Right, and it's not fair to the men.
That's right.
It's not fair to
missions that need accomplished.
Exactly.
And this is the national security issue of the First Order.
Now, when you talk about women being put into small combat units, about how what size is a combat unit normally?
A squadron is only nine.
Nine.
And then you have larger companies, I think, are about 60-some or 100, somewhere in there.
But, yeah, they're talking about putting women into a combat unit of possibly nine, nine.
And yet, you know, they were a little bit vague. They said in order to have a significant cadre, you need to have at least four women in these units. Four out of what size group? 100, 200? I'm not sure. They didn't say.
Well, they're talking about half of the combat unit, how combat unit itself is going to be women. They're all going to die.
The infantry battalion, it could be, if it goes down to the company or squad level, that's really small. You might have four squads and, you know, in one platoon. You know, you talk about a platoon.
Yeah.
So these are military terms, but the basic point is if you start introducing women into those units, you're going to see issues like you've seen in other ones because people are human.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have pregnancies. You're going to have non-deployability due to pregnancy. You're going to have issues, accusations of sexual misconduct, false accusations of sexual misconduct. Both are demoralizing and harmful to everyone around.
To unit cohesion and absolutely. I mean, it's the morale. If you have a military that has its, you know, not even talking about physical standards lowered, but talking about the morale of the members of that military.
Yeah.
That's going to reflect on how they do their job, protect us, how is this going to impact our national security?
Right. So
beyond our ability,
world.
Yeah.
And we've seen this in some of the units that used to be male, and then they eliminated the collocation rule and started gender integration.
Mm-hmm.
One unit I'm aware of that used to be all male, within months, actually a couple of weeks, they had their first pregnancy in that unit.
Oh, my goodness.
And what happens when pregnancy occurs? Well, somebody has to be evacuated.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an involuntary sexual encounter, rape in other words, then someone is accused, someone is evacuated.
Mm-hmm.
It affects the whole unit.
Absolutely.
All of these kinds of things occur. I'm not blaming women here. I'm saying that people are human, and your policy should encourage discipline, not indiscipline.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be realistic, not unrealistic.
Yeah.
And we need to think about the fact that physical differences do indeed matter. You can't pretend that they don't when women have 20% less endurance,
exactly,
only half of the upper body strength and lifting, can't run as far or carry as much weight. It's
right.
Because the female frame is
built. God had different ideas for men and women. I read something. It was someone, I think she's currently in the military. I don't know if it's something you sent around or not, but she was currently in the military, and she felt that she could qualify for combat training, the combat forces, the ground forces. And she said she thought she could qualify, go through the physical training. But she said that if it came to her having to drag, if one of her fellow service members was shot, her incapacity in some way, she said it'd kill her to have to drag his 190-pound frame plus his full backpack from the, you know, from the line of fire. She said she could not physically do that.
Well, that's right. And how do we know that? Because 30 years of study and research has been done. Not a single one of those studies in the United States and the United Kingdom, not one, has shown that women are the physical equals of men.
Right.
Maybe superior in other departments.
Other areas.
But in terms of physical capability, it just is not there. There's no indication to the contrary. Gender normed standards are endemic throughout all branches of the service.
Mm-hmm.
If they were not there, you'd have an awful lot more injuries. We would lose a lot of good women in the military. But now that the rules have changed, well then, how can you justify all these gender normed standards at the service academies, at the officer candidate school that I mentioned earlier, even basic training? How can you justify this?
Yeah, they've opened a Pandora's box that's going to see if this, you know, I think you have till 20, the military, the units have until, or the branches have until 2016 to...
Well, this decision's already made.
Remember,
whoever
decision,
it is
right.
in office in 2016 in the Pentagon, they will have been selected
right.
by this president to support
no,
the diversity
true.
Agenda.
Yeah.
So there's only one thing to do here, and that is to go directly to the members of Congress and say, what are you doing about this? There are things Congress can do, but they won't do a thing
yeah.
if they don't feel a lot of heat
mm-hmm.
from moms and dads and young women and young men, too,
right.
and people who have some common sense and support for the armed forces. People need to say to Congress, what are you going to do about
mm-hmm.
this?
Mm-hmm.
The Joint Chiefs are not in a position to make policy. They are going along with the president. They
right.
follow orders.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of the culture of the military.
Yeah,
but
true.
That's not good enough to just say, well, that's the way it's going to be. No, because this will affect everyone.
Because the Constitution,
we depend on our military.
Yeah, because constitutionally, the Congress has the job of determining policy, basic policy for the military.
Right.
But what I was saying about 2016, though, doesn't the military have a, until that time to tell the Joint Chiefs or the Department of Defense why women would not qualify for certain positions?
Well, on paper,
it says
that they may still keep some units all male.
Right.
But the burden of proof will be to prove
on the military.
Why.
Yeah.
And again, here already you see General Dempsey
mm-hmm.
saying, well, we're going to question,
yeah.
why does the standard have to be that
high? Again,
you have to take into consideration, this is a political movement.
Absolutely.
It's designed to, to use the old analogy of the frog in the pot,
mm-hmm.
just get everybody nice and comfortable
yeah.
and turn the heat up gradually, and the next thing you know, it's too late.
You're cooked.
So, yeah, this is where I came in many years ago, because I realized the Equal Rights Amendment and what feminists were demanding would indeed affect young daughters, including my own,
mm-hmm.
In a future war, and I didn't want that to happen.
Yeah.
So it's up to the young moms of today to do the same thing.
To do the same thing.
Say, Congress, what are you going to do about this?
Yeah, so we need to contact Congress, because it was one of my questions.
Yes, you can start with the chairman and ranking members of the Armed Services Committees. Senator Inhofe wants to do something about this from Oklahoma.
Right. I know he was incensed.
Duncan Hunter from California is a Marine veteran.
Okay.
He's on the Armed Services Committee.
So we need to target the armed, at least, of course, the House can do something and the Senate will shoot it down, but we need to contact the members of the Armed Services Committees.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
And because that was one of my questions, so that we need to do that, because I cannot comprehend how these, I'm trying to think of a nice word, these people in leadership are doing this. I mean, it's beyond comprehension that they are willing to place our men and women currently in the military and who will be in the military in the future in danger, in the very possible scenario that they would lose their lives because of this ludicrous idea that women are equal to men and can fight direct combat and attack our enemy and be equally successful. And it's not going to work. And it just totally boggles my mind.
Right, and it's not a women's rights issue.
No, it's not, but as you're saying, the feminists have taken over, and too many in leadership positions in Washington, D.C., they just don't have any common sense. I mean, I've come to that conclusion, especially with this thing. Several last few years, I've come to the conclusion they have absolutely no common sense,
mm-hmm.
and they cannot see what they're doing to this country. But anyway, so I will put out an alert about folks contacting the members of the Armed Services Committee. So we'll try to throw some support behind him. How can people contact you?
Our website is www.cmrlink.org, and we have a wealth of information, new information that's posted on this, because we've been researching it for a long time, but there's a lot of opportunity here for moms and dads to speak up.
And get involved, yeah. And I really appreciate, when you do research, you do thorough research, and I appreciate the research that you do and the papers that you put together for us to, us who don't understand how the military works necessarily, but you've put it in layman's terms to where we can understand it. You give us the history and the dangers of, this policy change and of the situation with allowing homosexuals in the military. I really appreciate your leadership and your research in this stuff. I mean, you have 7 reasons why this is a dumb idea. That's not the title of your article, but
seven reasons why standards will be driven down.
Absolutely. But it's six pages worth of a six-page article, and I really appreciate it. And that's just one of many you've written on this very issue of women in a direct ground combat. So, Elaine, I really appreciate your leadership in this.
Well, it's nice to talk to you, Diane.
Okay, you take care.
Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.